This week's episode of This Is Only a Test is made possible by the fine folks at MailChimp. MailChimp is an easy-to-use marketing platform with a name that might make it sound like they only do email, but they do just about everything to help businesses grow, like ads, postcards, landing pages, audience management tools, automations, reports, and more. You could say MailChimp grew so much that they outgrew their name, and their marketing tools can help you do the same. Go to MailChimp.com to sign up for free and see how MailChimp can grow your business. MailChimp, they do more than mail. Email.
Hey, let's start the show.
For Thursday, April 18th, 2019, welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. Welcome, everyone, to this fine, well, Tuesday that we're recording this week. I'm Norm, joined by Jeremy Williams.
Hola.
And if you listen to Still Entitled, The Adam Savage Project, early in the week, you'll know that our third seat this week is Will Smith.
Hi. I'm here. It's part two.
Old school.
Part two. We're doing the podcast, the Tested podcast, cinematic shared universe, shared podcast universe. What's the acronym for that?
Where's my dubstep? Oh. Where's my? It's too late now. You've ruined it, Jeremy.
Right.
You can't make this back.
Sorry.
This is the Tested Podcast Universe, the TPU.
I only have one simple request.
Mm-hmm.
Dubstep. That's all I want.
I know.
I haven't read your writer.
And so you heard in the opening theme, the big news this week, of course, Star Wars Celebration. We will be talking about none of that on this podcast. If you want to hear about 40 minutes of talk about Star Wars Celebration, our impressions on the trailer, on the news of the title for Episode 9, about The Mandalorian, about Jedi Fallen Order, and even looking back at our thoughts on The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, some controversy in the room, you'll have to go download Still Entitled for this week and listen there. And if you listen to Still Entitled and are just tuning in from that, thank you for jumping podcasts and for listening to This Is Only a Test. Will's typically not here.
No, I'm hardly ever here.
I know.
I'm not coming back if you don't play the dubstep next time.
Oh, we need you for maybe in four episodes, maybe in a month or so.
Well, you'll have to ask really nicely and play the dubstep. That's all I want.
I'm so glad Gary has no writer.
It's important that you don't give Gary any leverage whatsoever.
Yeah. What is a writer? Is there a form, a blank form?
It's a contract.
Yeah.
It's really boring. There's all sorts of subheads and bits and chunks.
Of which one is?
Play the fucking dubstep, Norm.
At some point. Did not Jeremy. Say when or where or whether for broadcast or not. Episode 496, that's where we're at right now. So officially 1 month away from 500.
So is 500 the important episode or is it 501?
500.
All right.
How many podcasts get to 500 episodes?
Three.
At this point.
I think there's only three.
We're the fourth?
Yeah,
it's like Logan's run. You know, the gem starts blinking and at 500 and then all the mics go silent.
I mean, in reality, that probably happened about episode 70. Been all downhill from there. I can say that because I was there for the first 300 or so. 200? I can't remember when I quit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, we promised on the first half of this and Still Entitled that we talk about dad stuff.
Yeah, how was your car trip with the child for the first time?
So you have a Tesla Model 3 and you've done one. Have you done a road trip in that before?
I have, just by myself.
Mm,
okay. I drove down myself to LA and I drove back at 11 p.m. at night is when I drove back.
But this is your first one with the family enhanced autopilot. Am I right?
That's Navigate on autopilot.
Thank you.
The new one.
Did you update? You paid for the self-driving package?
I paid for a tier one. The self-driving package is all different now. What they had offered to Model 3 owners and Model S owners a year ago is different than what they offer now. The prices are lower, but the feature set
like every
is
few weeks
different.
They change the prices.
Yeah. It's they're prerogative.
Well, so when I looked the other day, it was $5,000 to get like self-parking and stuff, but that also comes with all the all the self-driving stuff too.
It's less than that. It's like $3,000.
It looked like $5,000.
They just lowered it like this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they lowered it again.
This was last week maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so I have the first tier. It's not the level as a guideline by the National Highway Safety Transportation Administration.
Yeah.
But it is, it's basically Cruise Control Plus. So okay. They previously called EAP, Enhanced Autopilot. So you get your dynamic cruise control. It stays within the lanes. And recently with the software update, you get what's called Navigate in Autopilot, which means that it will look at your maps. And if you have a route plotted in, it will automatically change lanes for you to get in the correct lane to take off ramps and change freeways.
With no confirmation.
Now, previously it required a confirmation, which was, and that's a toggle. Previously, it was mandatory that you had to use the turn signal yourself, which would it would prompt you to say a lane change needed, and in the graphic you would see like the line. Like, can you remember in the Batman Begins when he's driving the Batmobile and the tumbler, and there's like a graphic of like the path that lays before him, and like a
path and you can
that
go
goes
down
around,
in the hole, yeah,
and then he gets a weave between traffic. Yeah. That's what this is essentially. We all have Batmobiles now. If you wanted to go at 100 miles per hour,
I'm okay.
But basically, you see the line that guides your car. It's almost like a Gran Turismo line. And it kind of it shows it going off to the next lane. And then for you to actually match it, you just hit the turn signal once. And then if it's all safe and your blind spot is clear, it will speed up a little bit and move you in. That was a couple months ago. Now, as of like 2 weeks ago, if you got the update,
you can pay less attention.
You can pay slightly attention, although you still have to confirm with a nudging of the steering wheel.
You still have to have your hand on the wheel.
That's it. That's exactly
what
it
great.
Is. You have to have your hand on the wheel, which is confirm that you are paying attention.
Yep.
But you don't have to actively say turn.
Uh-huh.
But then with your hand on the wheel, it will change your lanes.
So,
because legally, you are still in control.
That is correct.
So, okay, my question for you. This is a thing we talked about years and years ago when this was just a glimmer in young Elon Musk's eye.
Yep.
Do you feel like this makes you more or less attentive as a driver?
Less attentive, 100%.
Okay. Do you think that is a good thing or a bad thing?
But and that's not because I want to be less attentive. I think just by having the car take over so many of those responsibilities,
yeah.
I am still aware of the road, but it's less of that drain. Now, the flip side is on a road trip where it's a 9-hour drive back because of the stops, bathroom stops, and charging, I'm much more awake by the end of it because I'm not so physically and mentally drained by this focus on the road.
I mean, that's that, like, not having to manage, like, not like a driving down 5, not a difficult road to keep it in between the lines because it's basically straight for 300 miles.
It's true. It's only like 4 turns I need to do, right? On 101 to 152, 152 to 5, and then over the mountain.
Yeah. So, it does wear on you constantly having to watch, and it does make you tired having to keep it in between the lanes.
Anyone who's done
a
late night road trip needs caffeine, and I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done road trips where I need to stop and
like
down
walk around, do some jumping
jacks. 5-hour energy, exactly. Yeah. And now the stops are more frequent because I have to charge the car, and being forced to do like a 45-minute stop really is healthy, first of all.
I mean, that's true. You get up, you walk around, you maybe have a snack, you go to the bathroom.
That's good for you.
Change a baby.
Energy, yep. And then when I'm getting back late, like I think we got back at 11 p.m. And then the first time I did, I got back at 4 a.m. There were times where I'm like really tired, but the faith in the car and still having to provide input, like it makes that I feel a lot more safer.
So
a lot more safe.
So this is the first road trip with the baby, which is, I think, like more important than the Tesla.
Well,
that's a hard thing.
I considered it, since it was also the first trip with the baby, not using autopilot, but because I'm like, I trust
you
the
just,
car.
You trust
with
Elon
the
Musk that much?
You considered it.
I considered it. And then, like, 5 minutes on the road, I'm like, hell no. Autopilot's going on.
Do you discuss this with your wife?
Big points for considering it there, Norm.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I also considered those different, like, aggressiveness settings for changing lanes.
Yeah.
Because not only will it navigate on autopilot, not only will it help you get in the right lane for off ramps, but it'll also take a look at the traffic around you, and you can be aggressive. You can have a Mad Max mode or an aggressive driving mode where if your target speed is, for example, the speed limit, like 65 or 70 miles per hour, and traffic in front of you is a slow car, autopilot will go around the car.
Like on the shoulder?
Not on the shoulder. In the passing lane. The far left turn lane, the passing lane.
Okay, that's
But
fine.
That is an aggressiveness setting that you can change.
Yeah.
And I had it on the second to most
comfortable. Did you discuss this with your wife? Did you, like, were you like, hey, honey, I'm trusting the safety of my family to this machine?
She was informed.
Okay.
She was informed. Does she sat in the back with the car.
Does the car tell you?
That turns are about to happen? There's a chime.
No, does the car tell you it's an auto? Does it say autopilot engaged?
No, it's just a chime. It's like, doo-doo-doo.
With all due respect to Norm, you probably know this, but maybe not everybody knows this, that Norm is, you know, he's not given driving lessons anytime soon. Like, he's not the world's best driver.
What?
On the highway.
Wow.
So, honestly, I can kind of feel where Danica's coming from.
Where are you getting this
I
from?
I would say Norm is a very, of our friend circle, he is a definitely top 20%.
Driver?
Yeah. I mean, our friend circle has some really bad drivers in it.
Is that because you're an especially aggressive driver, Jeremy?
I've gone to many events with Norm, and I've noticed a few times just a feeling.
Hey, things that annoy
is the
end of the podcast.
Skipping to the end already, huh?
I'm just saying, maybe
with podcast
maybe,
or with autopilot or without autopilot,
Danica. Maybe I get where you're coming from and saying the autopilot is not a bad idea.
Oh, trust the machine. Well, Elon Musk says that, you know, he imagines in 2 years human intervention in driving will make things significantly less safe.
That's
just his marketing speak.
What I will say is that since it became illegal for you to use your phone while you were driving, Norm has become a much better driver. How's that?
Or much more?
No.
Yeah, much better driver.
Much better driver.
Much driver, that's right. Yeah. Much better driver.
I think, you know, back to your point about it making you feel like you're a less attentive driver.
Yeah.
I think that's the express point of autopilot, autopilot in general, because it's heading towards full autopilot.
Right.
So every incremental advance that they make there is going to naturally make you feel less engaged.
Yeah. That's by design.
That
right?
is a natural consequence. It's just unfortunate that we're still in this period where you still technically and legally need to be 100% engaged.
And also, any amount of disengagement has an inverse relationship with safety when not all things are equal, when not all cars and not all drivers are working on the same plane.
So then my question is, like, you're driving along, the car gets to something that it doesn't know how to handle.
Yeah.
Or something happens directly in front of you.
My awareness now
is
about things further out.
So you're not micromanaging the moment-to-moment driving. You're just focused on the big picture. You're middle management now. Congratulations, Norm.
Driver.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm focusing on, hey, look, there's the shoulder's getting narrower in half a mile. Maybe I should be take control. Or, you know, there's a little bit of construction. Okay, I'm definitely not using autopilot when there's construction.
So you're thinking, you're considering the limitations of the autopilot.
Yes.
So that's great.
Based on my experience with it.
Do you think most Tesla drivers do the same thing?
I think so. No, I
think so, because there are definitely times when the machine thinks it's safe based on the information it has and the human level of comfort in those situations, like when the shoulders are narrower, like when it's a high-speed off-ramp. Like,
we just learned that it doesn't know the difference between, you know, traffic is going the same direction and oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
It just knows it's a different lane.
It's just a car.
Yeah.
Jesus, really?
Now, I'll give you one scenario. This has nothing to do with driving the kid, and driving the kid down was great. He slept, and we stopped at Casa de Fruta. There's some great places, the Kettleman City Supercharger.
Get some pea soup?
Did not get any Anderson's pea soup. But the Kettleman City Supercharger is amazing. That's like has 40 spots. It's basically
that's one where In-N-Out is, right?
Yeah, it's In-N-Out's there. Got some In-N-Out and stayed there for an hour. Clean bathrooms. Wonderful. While in L.A., because I was there for a couple days and had to drive back and forth, I was worried about the charge situation because I stayed in Pasadena where Monster Palooza was, but I needed to make my way down to Inglewood, and there's no gas station. Like gas station, there's a charge station like in downtown LA.
Yeah.
So the one I had to go to was at SpaceX.
Boom.
Wow. Really?
And it was the day I did. Why is there so much activity? And the SpaceX supercharger is right in the facility, by this squeeze between the Tesla Design Center there and SpaceX, like a giant building with SpaceX on the side.
That's awesome.
With a rocket right on the front.
Yeah.
Like one of the Falcon 9 boosters right there. And there were like six spots, a lot of Teslas. There were some like SpaceX specific reserve spots for supercharging, maybe some of the higher ups.
Like a Model X.
But it was the day that they landed all three on the barge and on the landing pads. And so a lot of buzz of activity. And I was like, oh my God, that's SpaceX.
That's a really nice segue, Norm.
That's actually where I watched the episode.
The teaser.
I parked in the car, and I was charging and like for half an hour. I was like, oh, what's going on internet? Oh my God, the episode 9 teaser is out.
Yeah.
And so I put my phone down, turned on internet tethering, got my iPad Pro.
Oh my God.
And tethered
the biggest screen possible.
The biggest screen I had in my car. You know, HDR, YouTube. Tethered my iPad to my phone for internet, then tethered Bluetooth to my car's speakers.
Yeah. Wow.
Maxed out the volume, and it was good.
It was pretty good.
It was a good way to watch the trailer. One more thing, I would say a life-saving moment maybe with autopilot.
Okay. Here we go.
Having to drive between Pasadena and LA. LA is very warm, very dry. It's a different type of climate than I'm used to in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when I get down there, my nose gets dry.
Yeah.
I had a massive nosebleed.
Yeah.
In 65 mile an hour traffic.
Yeah.
Driving in LA.
Yeah.
And autopilot maybe saved my life.
Wow.
Because I had to deal with the nosebleed and could not hold the wheel.
What color is your interior?
It's black, but I was you're wearing clothes,
normal clothes,
and it was like one of those. I felt the nose. I did a heavy sneeze, and I felt the nosebleed coming.
Yeah.
I didn't have any tissues.
Well, oh no.
So this is
an Elon Musk problem. They should put a tissue holder in that car.
There's plenty of cavities that you could put tissues. But what I did have was a dog pee pad.
Gross.
What the hell, dude?
You know, that's what they use for combat injuries now.
You know, like, we have a dog, and in the car, I have an emergency pee pad if we never need to go take the dog
someplace.
In case
Norm has to go and he's taking the dog someplace.
And it's very absorbent, and it's like a 3-foot by 3-foot thing.
Yeah.
And on one side, it's slippery. Yeah. And one side is very absorbent. And it looked like an offense. It looked like it came out of a surgery.
So you're saying this whole life-saving moment.
Yeah.
It saved your life. Autopilot saved your life and everyone else in the car.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just me. Just me.
Okay, good.
I was the only one.
Just so that you could have a bloody nose and not drip it on your car.
Not have it drip
in the
everywhere.
Clothes.
You could have certainly done
Look,
that.
Look, have you ever seen Norms that have a bloody nose before? It's gross. It's like a fucking zombie movie, man. It's everywhere.
I've never seen it.
It is horrific.
A bloody nose is very uncomfortable.
Have you ever seen The Evil Dead?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Would you just have... Also, when you have a bloody nose, you got to like lift your head up and pinch your nose.
You don't have to lift your head up. That's old school.
Yeah, you're not supposed to lift your head up. That messes up your sinuses.
I was scrambling for things and autopilot, I think.
You're like, Tesla, drive
possible.
Yourself.
I hope this was all captured on that internal camera.
I'm sure it was.
It's somewhere in their database.
Someone at Tesla headquarters.
Wow, that is a lot of blood.
It's like, ooh, car model, VIN number, 68,000 over there. Not looking so good.
hey, Biff, put this one in the nosebleed file. This is a good one.
Jeremy's referring to the fact that all the Model 3s have a tiny camera by the rear view mirror.
That's not
creepy. That you can definitely put a sticker over.
It's not currently put to use, but Elon says it will be put to use once they begin their rental service. And you can lease your Tesla to the public, to Uber, essentially.
Just what I want is the public in my personal car.
Well, it could pay for your car.
Just what I want is the public in my car.
Follow the money.
Hey, the end result is the car did fine.
Yeah.
I got no blood on my clothes or on the car.
Outstanding. Resale value intact.
Exactly. And autopilot worked for me.
I think the first time we took the kiddo on a road trip, we went to Bakersfield, and we just left after bedtime and got to Bakersfield for that stage show, that Jamie and Adam show at like 1 o'clock in the morning maybe.
Yep. That's pretty late. Yeah.
Yeah. And she didn't notice because she was in the car carrier. So she slept in the car carrier that night. Yeah. And it was the car carrier makes that kind of stuff easier.
Yeah. It's good to have a kid that can sleep in the car.
Yeah.
It might ruin their sleep that following night, but at least during the drive.
Just put them back in the car. It'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. That's a little mix of tech and catch up. So let's move on to our first formal segment.
Are we doing top story this week?
We are.
Oh.
Oh, so you play that music.
Story this week.
Star Wars.
Nope.
No.
You got to listen to Still Untitled. It's 40 minutes of Star Wars talk there.
It looks okay, I guess.
But we do have a new story this week. It is more technology related. Now, Wired Magazine got an exclusive. And timing is interesting on this because we are a month and a half out from E3. But Sony divulged some details about their work on the PlayStation 5. Now notice.
Well, we don't know what's called that, but the next generation PlayStation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Next generation PlayStation.
1, 2, 3, 4.
You know the
6.
PS logo. The PS logo, the S could be made to look like a 5.
It could be an 8 too.
Yeah, they got a cool font.
Right?
It's because it's an 8K. It's got 8Ks in there.
This is the weirdest story because it was not an announcement. It was not confirmation on a lot of things, but it was kind of like talking around the areas of research and a pathway for development. So things that were divulged, how long they've been working on it, which, okay, like 4 years they've been working on it. Developers have units now, perhaps?
They said that. They said that they're shipping
first party, definitely.
Kits. Yeah.
Probably, which means that third party, big AAA third parties are getting stuff soon. So I would assume like Insomniac has dev kits, stuff like that, as evidenced by stuff later in the article as well.
They're going to be running AMD hardware for CPU, GPU.
Same as last
third gen Ryzen and
some Radeon thing.
Some Radeon thing with ray tracing being potentially a flagship feature.
Not a big surprise, given that NVIDIA just came out with that as their flagship feature.
But does it matter for home entertainment, for games?
So my guess is that we'll see ray tracing used in extremely limited circumstances given the generation of hardware that's in here.
Yeah.
So things like puddle reflections, like a relatively small number of pixels will end up having ray trace reflections.
You know what I was intrigued by was the developer, who was interviewed?
Mark Cerny.
He suggested that there were other uses for ray tracing beyond graphics, that's the obvious use case, but you can also apply the same tracing math to find out if you can hear an enemy or if an enemy can hear you.
Makes sense.
So
waves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Light is just waves.
I think that's really
they
interesting.
Bounce off, yeah.
So there's a couple of weird things about, like, there's a really breathy, extended, like, four-paragraph bit in here where they're talking about an immersive audio, yada, 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 and it's HRT, like, hardware-accelerated HRTFs, which are head-related transform functions or something like that, head-relative transform functions.
It's been around for
have been
a long
around
time.
Since the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? It is literally there was a Diamond, REL made accelerator chips for that could do a relatively finite number of streams.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But still, that existed in, like, 1999. The fact that they're hardware accelerating it is interesting.
But it's not something that really is put into effect on game console hardware.
Well, because you don't wear headphones when you play game consoles.
Well, and this article states that the best way to experience that audio feature will be with headphones.
Well, will be in VR.
My guess is that they have a fair amount of data that says, hey, people play with headphones now on their game consoles.
My son does.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know, but if I'm playing a shooter, I'm almost always wearing headphones.
Just to be clear, what Norm just said about VR, unfortunately, nothing was said about VR besides the fact that it will still support current-gen PSVR as well as being backwards compatible with current PlayStation 4 games.
That's right. PlayStation 4 is all they said. They didn't say anything about PS3 or what that kind of whether emulation but those PS4, the way that's designed with basically off-the-shelf hardware, there's no specific cell chip or anything like that. It would make sense that there would be compatibility.
It's the same general, architecture. Yeah. It's just improved components.
Which also means that a lot of the games that we may have seen being announced, speculation is, like Death Stranding may be a game like in previous generations that work on both a 4 and whatever the next PlayStation is.
Like something like Dreams, it could open up like what you could build with it.
Right, you build your RAM, you have more memory, yeah. So your number of blocks you can put in the world, number of objects is augmented. 8K is another thing they talked about.
You're talking about the graphics resolution?
Yep. Which
I would assume that's like 4K on the Xbox One X and PS4 Pro in that it works for some stuff but is limited and or slow.
Yeah, because how many games actually render natively even at 4K on the current hardware? I'd be happy if they promised 4K, 90 hertz native as a baseline for target rendering as opposed to saying, well, this can also do 8K for the 0% of people who have 8K displays.
I feel like we're past the point of diminishing returns on resolution. I mean, frankly, past 4K, I don't think anyone's going to care.
Guess what? You would need those
besides bragging rights.
You would need it if you were going to render a higher resolution
high-res VR.
VR headset.
Absolutely.
So maybe that's a way for them to say, if we can push out 8K pixels,
yeah,
then we could render at high frame rate enough for a much higher resolution.
But you have
VR
to wonder
solution.
Like how much does VR weigh in their, pricing
they
things
told
out?
You
they've sold 4 million VR headsets. Yeah,
4 million
yeah. VR, they care.
They've sold 90 million PS4s.
I know.
That is a small percentage of their base.
My guess is that the attach rate for people who bought VR headsets is way better than the attach rate for the other 86 million
All they need are a couple more Beat Sabers.
Right.
It's been successful for them. I hope that it is a major part of their strategy, because the PSVR is a solid platform. It just lacks...
Well, it used existing controller hardware.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah, it was kind of an afterthought. And if they could do it from the ground up with well-tracked controllers, and the headset's already decent, but if they could boost that to something massive like 4K or even 8, that'd be awesome.
Well, and here's the other thing that's interesting is, like, right now PSVR is a kind of fractured platform in that if you're a dev and you're building, like, a game like Falcon Age, which came out last week, is really, really neat. You should check it out if you have a PSVR.
Yeah.
If you don't have... Like, they built it for Move controllers mm-hmm. with VR, DualShock 4 with VR, and also DualShock 4 with a normal 2D TV. So they have essentially three different games and three different UI mechanisms that they had to build and test for. It's really complicated. It would be really nice in a future generation if they said, okay, PSVR is this. Some hand controllers that track in all three dimensions, not just two and kind of the third.
Yeah.
And that's the platform for PSVR going forward. I would hope that they do that.
Yes,
So that developers can choose DualShock, but assume that everybody has access to the Move, so they can just build stuff for
Move.
Yeah,
you got to bundle.
If that makes more sense.
Bundle the hand controllers with the headset.
With the headset, not necessarily with whatever the PlayStation is.
Right.
Yeah.
So the rumor I heard about this story is that Wired had access to some leak, and...
Oh, they were going to publish anyway?
And they were going to publish anyway.
Huh.
And that's... I heard that from a couple of different places.
Okay.
So this wasn't part of a plan.
So this may not have been part of a concerted rollout.
Yeah. The other thing, timing-wise, is not 2019.
Right? I don't think that's a surprise.
And they're not even doing a keynote at E3.
Yeah.
Like, well, everybody's bailing out at E3, it sounds like. Looking at the timing on 7-nanometer, like right now, like how much 7-nanometer chips you can buy. I keep sagging. Sorry, Jeremy. Like the fabs are booked because of mobile stuff that's running at 7-nanometer now. And presumably there will be more availability so that they won't have supply constraints. Because like if you look at the other stuff they talked about with the APU, which presumably is still an APU. We don't know. It might be a separate GPU and CPU this go around.
What's APU?
I don't remember. It's AMD's acronym for a GPU and CPU on a system. Not a system on a chip, but GPU and CPU and memory controller and PCI Express lanes and all that stuff on one
accelerator processing unit.
Yeah.
It's basically Fusion.
It's basically the chips that are in the Xbox 360, Xbox One and PS4 are APUs that are custom. So it looks like they're doing a thing that lets them have many, many cores in the CPU. There was an Nantech article that I can't get to open now because the Nantech seems to be down. But yeah, that and then the GPU is the 7-nanometer, what is it, Riva? Is that what they're calling it?
Does that excite you? 7-nanometer?
7-nanometer is really good.
I mean, every time they reduce that...
Navi.
Every time they reduce that, you get faster processing,
less heat. More speed, less heat. And this 7-nanometer is one of the last steps we're going to be able to make,
right?
Presumably, given existing technology.
Mm.
Yeah, so... I mean, I don't know. It looks like they're building something massively parallel, which is unusual. It's kind of like the old...
Isn't that like PS3?
Kind of like the old PS3 stuff I was going to say, but that's being reductive and crappy. Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested in this.
Here's
good.
The good trend. The good trend is that it is dedicated hardware locally, whereas there is a trend across all the console makers, Microsoft, Sony, and even non-traditional makers now, like Google,
right,
for streaming, and a lot of technology that graphics companies like NVIDIA are building are optimized for server farm rendering. We're still, for the foreseeable future, are going to be able to buy very powerful game consoles to have in the home to render locally, not to deal with anything like latency. And these things can perhaps move concurrently, so you can have, if you want to spend the however many hundreds of dollars to buy that, and also subscribe to a streaming service, you can do that as well. And that's what I like.
Do you foresee a time when it is streaming only?
I think they said disc-based games will be. I think that's the next step, right? No disc.
I mean, Microsoft
still be dedicated hardware, but hard drive, some local rendering. But I don't foresee the Google plan that being the standard 5 years.
I mean,
this generation, even the upcoming generation,
but potentially beyond that, yes.
20 years, who knows?
Jeez.
I mean,
it's scary. I mean, so is, you know, your kids never having to get a driver's license.
Microsoft has been rumored to have that no disc, no optical disc Xbox for a while, which presumably is something they'll announce at E3 or sometime between now and then, which is basically an Xbox One S, with no optical drive that's just for playing downloadable games that presumably is just basically a front end for Xbox Game Pass. They're pushing that really hard. They just had it on sale for $1.
It's so, where the money is, right? And where the subscriptions is where the business people are interested in, then the product side will follow.
Where the money for the platform holders is not necessarily for the developers and the publishers. Yes.
What did you call it? Game Pass?
Game Pass. Game Pass is their Netflix service.
But it's not a streaming service.
Not yet.
Right. But it's like Apple's gaming service. Like
and you get access to a library of a couple hundred games and you can download them.
It's not rendered off site. But in the sense that, you know, Nintendo, the NES Classic stuff is not a streaming service, but like you have to be online and download their games from the library and they're just small.
Well, it's just because those games are like 256 kilobytes. Yeah.
I mean, the promise of Google, I could totally see being a future where you can get access to whatever game you're playing anywhere with very minimal latency. And the save state is, you know, you go from your TV to your phone to a kiosk to an arcade to your workstation at, to any device, to a hotel room. That's a level of convenience that I think is powerful.
Well, I think so talking to a couple of developers about the Google thing when I was at GDC, like the feeling I got from people who make real games, not the kind of stuff I make, is that people are excited because it brings the opportunity to open up games that right now are gated behind a pretty big hardware investment. You know, like you can't play an Assassin's Creed game unless you have a PS4 or an Xbox, and those cost at least $250 or $300. And like my mom would be totally into playing an Assassin's Creed game set in Egypt, but she's also never going to plug a loud, obnoxious PS4 into her living room TV. So, you know, I think there's a bigger market. My point is just like we found out that there was a much bigger market for games with mobile games when everybody got phones.
Yeah, but how do they vend?
What do
like,
you mean?
I might be bigger, like that market, but how do they vend with the people who want to buy the hardware? You know?
Oh, I mean, I think there's always people who want to buy the hardware.
You convince those people that as much as they want the hardware, the amount of convenience is better, and you make it go beyond games, right? For Google, you know, the Google Docs works because you're basically, it is that for productivity. You know, the OS side is slowly moving to the cloud that way.
Yeah.
And so why not entertainment? You know, movies, yes, already. Music, already.
Absolutely.
You know, games is kind of the last thing.
Ah.
Imagine.
I know, purists.
Imagine a world, Jeremy.
It's not just purists. It's functionality. It's the technical aspects of it.
Imagine the world where I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey and you can be the hawk. You can be my hawk. You can just fly around all the time spotting things for me.
What
does that
do with streaming?
Well, I mean, you could do that with Stadia really easily.
Oh, okay. The other thing is that SSD will be a part of this next PlayStation. Yeah. So
this is really interesting.
Why?
Because he was promising CERN was making exceptionally bold promises with regard to an SSD that makes me think that they're probably building something that's like Intel's hybrid SSDs.
Oh, the RAM caching stuff?
The RAM caching ones, yeah.
So, okay. So right now there's hard drives and you can replace your drives with an SSD and get faster load times
like
with solid
10%
state.
10% maybe.
But he was talking about like orders of magnitude from 13 seconds to less than a second.
A quarter of a second. Yeah, 18.18.
And even if you're talking about going to the fastest NAND possible with PCI Express lanes, that's still... Basically, caching is the only way you can do that.
Well, and by optimizing the way your game loads. Like right now on consoles, people do a lot of compute stuff in the background while the game's loading in from the disk because they know they have 20 seconds while the game loads in. It's interesting. The load times matter a ton more for VR than for console games because on most console games, you sit on your couch, you have a 20-second load time, you pick up your phone, you look at the phone for a minute. With VR, if you take the headset off, you're probably not going to put it back on. So they're really interested in getting rid of load times for VR games.
Yeah. On the Intel side, that's the Optane memory stuff, which basically you're buying extra, like 64...
Up to 64 gigs of RAM.
Of extra storage, SSD that acts as RAM plus. It's space between the RAM and your storage.
It's analogous to a hybrid drive, where except for with the hybrid drives, it was a bunch of flash memory in front of a spinning platter. And with this, it's a bunch of volatile RAM, high-speed RAM in front of a flash drive.
You know, I'm all about faster load times. Wonderful thing. But that is the most boring Hallmark feature that I've ever heard for a new console launch. So this is exactly what makes me excited about VR, because the increments that we're seeing in the VR space have so much more impact.
See, I think your perspective on this is off, because you play those big games on PC, or maybe not at all. Whereas if I'm playing Spider-Man, those 30-second load times make me not do things. Like, one of the things they demonstrated was actually that the Spider-Man's movement speed through New York in that game is entirely gated by the speed of IO on the PlayStation 4.
I don't know, dude. I grew up with a 2600, went into the NES. Yeah, yeah. I saw the whole 16-bit thing happen. I went to, finally consoles.
You're old,
got online. I'm old.
What annoys you, Jeremy? Tell me. Get it out.
And what I loved about all of that is every single generation, there was something really, really special about the improvements that you gained. You finally, we got high definition, Like, the Xbox played a few games in 720p, and it was fantastic. Like, you notice these things. And now we're hearing there's going to be 8K, like, I care, and there's, like, amazing audio hardware and faster load times. Like, that's just not the same thing as finally getting, more colors or higher resolution or online capability. We've gotten past the point of magnificent changes, whereas in the VR space, we're at the very beginning.
So you're saying for you, it's all magic now?
I'm saying it's good enough.
Yeah.
It's just like the phones. It's like, I don't need to get a new phone every year because there's not something markedly better about it.
Did you get a new phone last year?
I still have the 10.
Okay.
And before that, I had the 6S.
Oh, you didn't do the 7, huh?
So, right now, VR is maybe the only technology that I feel this way about, where it's at the beginning. And we're so rarely
at
the beginning of things.
As an exception.
Oh, AR is even more so.
And I don't see the end of it.
Yeah.
I feel like part of this is that part of the problem, and not to slag on Wired, because I love the guys at Wired, but like, this is part of the problem with having people reveal this stuff who are the kind of people that check in on what's going on with consoles every time there's a new console every 4 or 5 years, is that they don't understand the larger context about how people are going to use this stuff in games.
Yeah.
I think the idea of open world games where stuff loads in instantly, it's the same thing as when we were talking about how we'll use eye tracking in VR or how we'll use AR in games. Like, we always try to map our old game genre ideas and concepts onto the new opportunities, and what'll happen is when you give this to developers, they'll be like, oh wait, we can just build a game where you can jump up to outer space and then come right back down immediately without having to do a big load, or they'll be able to build the load screens into worlds in a way that are much more interesting than like Mass Effect in-game elevators, which masked the loads
like Half-Life
in
did,
old
yeah.
games and Half-Life, stuff like that.
Well, that's the PlayStation Not 5 as the big story this week. Anything more you want to say about that? No? No?
Seems fine.
5, Not 5.
I'm waiting. I'm excited about Knack 3.
What's Knack 3?
Knack 1 was the launch title for PlayStation 4.
Oh. Oh, right. Yeah. Was that good?
No. It was a bad game.
Was it a good tech demo?
Not really. No, it was okay. I mean, it had a lot of, Knack was made up of a bunch of little polygons, and they all flew together occasionally.
So do you think Xbox will launch next year too?
I'm interested to see if Xbox launches hardware. Yeah. I mean, I assume they're going to do a hardware and box, but who knows at this point?
Okay.
I mean, they're putting Game Pass on all of the, it seems like they're going to put game streaming on all of the platforms that will let them, including Switch potentially, since now that you can do Xbox Live integration on Switch, and who knows?
Streaming from your Xbone. Is that what you mean?
No, I'm talking about. I mean, it seems like their move is to move Xbox Game Pass, the play your old Xbox, play a bunch of Xbox 360 and Xbox One and PC games. Now it's local. Presumably, that's going to move to the cloud at some point.
Gotcha.
And that will be an analog to Google Stadia and all the other stuff that we're seeing, PlayStation Now that Sony's had for ages, and presumably they're going to keep doing endpoint hardware, but I mean, who knows? If they don't have to, why would they? Those machines cost billions of dollars to develop, so why not just build a cheap streaming box and a gamepad and sell that instead if people are okay with that? Of course, the last time Microsoft took a big chance on a console launch, they lost the entire generation and blew their Xbox 360 lead, so maybe they aren't going to take any chances this time. Who knows? I really love that theme.
There's a Star Wars trailer came out. No, we're not talking about that. Okay.
She skywalks.
But we will talk about Disney, because at the Disney investors call last week, Bob Iger and co. Announced the details finally to Disney Plus. There's Apple TV Plus, and now there's Disney Plus as well. They're not the same.
I can't believe how expensive it is.
How cheap it is. How inexpensive.
So expensive.
So this is Disney's long-awaited Netflix competitor streaming service as they start pulling content away from services like Netflix, including the Marvel films. Eventually, they will all be a part of Disney Plus. And let's start with the pricing. Yeah, so $7 a month or $70 a year. That is an aggressive
Isn't
pricing
that
strategy.
For, like,
that's what Netflix pricing was originally,
it's
right?
It's also a family account, right? Can't you do multiple people within your family?
If that is, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, they want to get people on board, and they know that they're coming in not with any first-mover advantage, but with an established marketplace, and they need to come in from a position of strength, and that is with aggressive pricing and content.
There you go.
I think it's great. I mean, I was already going to subscribe if it was twice that. Like, if it was Netflix pricing. So I'm on board.
So what's on the service?
So content lineup. Now, you might have heard Disney recently spent north of $50 billion to acquire Fox, 20th Century Fox, the media company portion, the Hollywood and TV. So this will be the exclusive streaming place for The Simpsons.
That's so
weird. Does this mean when you see Star Wars Episode 4 again, it's going to have the 20th Century Fox before it again?
Maybe.
Dun, dun,
I know. That's such an important part of the sense memory.
It's interesting.
Because you never get you don't get the Disney.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum,
no, I don't care about that.
All the Simpsons, but that's like just gravy, I think. You get your Nat Geo stuff. That's all part of the Fox acquisition. That's gravy. You get the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Every Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That's good. You get the Disney XD stuff.
Things could premiere here.
What do you mean?
I don't mean like not in the theater, but I mean like
digitally.
Digitally, yeah, you get your digital premieres here.
I don't think you'd ever get digital premieres there because there's still a big branch of home entertainment, Buena Vista Home Entertainment, that makes a ton of money from iTunes sales and discs.
Well, and remember Disney's whole model, like starting with Walt in the 50s, was the movies are the engine that drives the business.
Yep.
The movies bring people to the parks. The movies sell merch. The movies get people watching TV. The whole thing.
Yeah, I think what they want to do is you pay to watch. You pay four times, right? You're going to pay to watch the movie in the theater. You're going to pay to get the iTunes copy or the Blu-ray copy, and then you're going to pay the monthly fee to get it on a streaming service.
Convenient.
And then you might pay for it again to watch it at a matinee.
So
in theater again.
So, well, I mean,
so original content though.
Yeah,
Mandalorian, Star Wars. You got your Star Wars.
That rumored to have a budget of $10 million per episode, just like Game of Thrones.
That's pretty spendy.
Yeah,
it's a lot of cheddar,
and it's great looking. They did a whole talk. We talked about it on Still Entitled, and I'm super psyched about it.
So Marvel stuff.
They're going to do a K2SO show. Is that right?
Oh yeah. Oh sorry. Other Star Wars stuff. They are doing a Cassian Andor and K2.
So he's going to presumably go murdering a shitload of people because he was a bad man before Rogue One.
But this is a live action.
Live action.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm into that.
Are there any other Star Wars live action things they announce?
Are they getting dude to voice K2SO?
Alan Tudyk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm interested. Early on, they had hinted that there weren't going to be adult franchises on this Disney Plus service.
What do you mean by adult?
You know, porn. No, like things that are rated R. So, like, they're like presumably they bought 20th Century Fox, and we have a bunch of Alien and Predator and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like some gory movies.
That's
isn't Terminator
point.
A Fox thing too? No, that's Terminator somebody else. Anyway,
Star Wars: The Clone Wars.
Okay, the animated.
Mm-hmm. You watch the whole series? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I think they're going to have the new season, 12 episode season, is going to air on Disney streaming service as well.
Oh, so they're doing
a new Clone
is it
Wars.
With what's his name again? Gennady.
I don't know. I think it's the Filoni.
Okay. Okay. And Rebels is going to be there presumably as well, right?
Yes, of course. The Game of Thrones creators, once they wrap up Game of Thrones this next 2 months, they're going to go work on a TV show. Another series of Star Wars movies set outside the episode. So like what Rian Johnson's working on.
So I think they're working on Old Republic stuff. Isn't that the rumor?
They're like a galaxy beyond, like far away from the galaxy we know.
Oh,
that's what okay. that, yeah. isn't that what we
yeah.
heard?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like
a galaxy even farther, farther.
Yeah, no,
away.
It's even. Well, who knows?
Or it could be closer.
Could be like a triangle, same distance.
That's true. Could be equidistant. Less a galaxy far away. Equally far, far away.
Another direction.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Well, space is pretty big.
This is very complicated.
So Marvel stuff. All right, you got a ton of Marvel limited live action shows yep. based on the character. I think this, along with The Mandalorian, is what's going to get people to subscribe.
Swear like,
you got a Loki TV show, a Loki miniseries.
Is it like a buddy cop show?
No, probably Loki Through the Ages, Mischief Through the Ages. Loki's okay. dead, remember? Infinity War.
Nobody dies in comic book movies.
Yeah.
So what, also live action?
Live action.
Starring Loki?
Starring Tom Hiddleston.
I'll be down.
He's available.
You got a Scarlet Witch and Vision show called WandaVision.
What? With, really? They're calling it WandaVision?
It's like, WandaVision.
That's like WonkaVision.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah. yes, yes. You can't pull them out of the TV, though. So, but it is going to have the actor and actress,
Elizabeth
Olsen and Paul Bettany, yeah. reprise their roles, and it'll be about their relationship.
I just want to say...
They also are both dead?
Infinity spoilers, War. Man. I went back and watched Infinity War the other day.
Yeah, what do you think?
And I'm going to go ahead and say Elizabeth Olsen, I think, is the best actor in that whole thing. Because she does all this weird, like hand finger stuff. Magic.
Yeah.
And she makes it look cool, man.
You believed?
I believed. Like, that could have been really hokey and lame, and she makes it look rad. Yeah. That's hard. That's big acting.
It's hard.
Mm. Big hand acting.
Yeah, hand acting.
So those are two live action. There's going to be a Bucky and the Falcon buddy.
Road trip?
Buddy superhero movie.
Who's TV paid, show. Who's paid more there?
Oh man, I bet they split the same right down check. The
middle. Equal pay?
Equal pay.
All right.
Although it was Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Exactly. He was in the title.
Right? It That's wasn't true. Captain America and the Falcon, which
Never.
Is the comic book.
Man, I would totally right? watch
they,
Captain America.
Set up,
and
they
the
set up the Falcon as the new best friend, and then Bucky had to come back and share that back seat with him. What? They hate each other. This is gonna be great.
What if they're rivals and they're fighting for Captain America's love?
Who knows if Captain America's gonna be
He's going to live.
In the picture.
You can't kill Captain America. Maybe there. Maybe there. Maybe there. Maybe the show is actually who's going to be America's next top Captain America.
That's right.
So yeah. much.
They both have.
They're fighting
in the
to
comics.
Take over
they
in the both, comics. Yeah.
They both have worn the mantle of Captain America, and that could be something a path yeah. to take. Absolutely.
This the path so for the shield.
This is so much money.
I'm not done.
But
I'm
wait, there's done. More?
There's a Hawkeye show.
Hold on. Is it Hawkeye or
Jeremy
is it Ninja?
It's not Ronin.
Ronin.
It's Hawkeye. And teaching a young Hawkeye from the comics.
Lady Hawkeye?
That's good.
Is it Gwen-Eye?
Kate Bishop
oh, Kate
is
Bishop.
His apprentice
okay.
in the comics. She and it will be a Hawkeye and Kate Bishop story, presumably following Endgame.
Wow.
So you already have those. Am I missing one?
Where's Paul Rudd in all this?
No, Paul Rudd's in movies.
No TV shows?
No.
He's only doing movies?
He got a backstage tour of Galaxy's Edge.
Wow.
And in the Marvel and the MCU, they're also doing this thing that I think is super cool for fans, an animated series called What If. Now, if you read the comic books.
I love What Ifs.
In Marvel, they occasionally release these one-shots called What Ifs.
Yeah.
These were one-sentence premises that allowed comic book writers and artists to go outside of the canonical story. And it would posit, you know, what if
Hulk had explosive diarrhea?
What if Hulk missed the date? What if Bruce Banner wasn't the person to enter the gamma ray chamber?
Oh.
You know, and someone else walked in that you know. And it was General Thunderbolt Ross who became the Hulk. The what ifs that they've
Zombies.
Announced,
they did a zombies one that was what ifs, right? Is that where that came from?
Marvel Zombies, I think it was own thing.
Okay.
But it was a thing. And DC has Elseworlds, which is their version of it.
So what are you going to do? Like Amazing Stories kind of anthology things?
But it's animated, so not live action.
Yeah, yeah.
What if Peggy Carter was the one who took the serum and she becomes Captain America?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
That sounds
Fans
good.
Fans want to see that? And then what if Steve Rogers wore an Iron Man suit? That kind of thing.
In addition to being Captain America?
I don't know.
So you really think that they're going to do these like seriously for the insiders, nerdcore kind of what ifs? Or are they going to do things that actually appeal to everybody?
I think it'll appeal to everyone. I think they're going to take existing characters and...
Could they do like what if Star Wars and Marvel were in the same universe?
No.
They could?
No. Yeah, they could.
You could say that.
What if Star-Lord killed Han Solo? Think about it.
What if?
So they would have the live action actors... The main actors reprise their roles and just, you know, spend a day doing some voiceover.
Locked in contractually, so they have no choice but to say
yes. Star Wars Marvel crossover would be very popular.
But I'm sure they've done that in the comic books.
It's a fun anthology idea.
Yeah, I like anthologies. I like good ideas. I like what ifs.
Okay.
What if Groot could say a fourth word?
All right. Yep. See, that's a really good one.
Yeah. Think about that.
They're doing a Monsters, Inc. thing, too. Right?
What if Rocket Raccoon was a possum?
No, we're moving on.
Okay.
So. Kevin Feige has said that unlike the past Marvel TV shows. So Marvel, while the name is on like the Netflix shows, those were never part of the MCU. They were only very loosely tied.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I've been really lied to.
No, but they mentioned, they reference it.
They reference an event, but they never say, you know, the alien invasion. They've mentioned they never even say Battle for
They
New
talk
York.
About Midtown being jacked up.
Kinda. And then the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is technically the MCU, has had a more direct crossover, especially with the last season. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of been its own thing and never really done a full crossover. Kevin Feige says the TV stuff is definitely going to be part of the MCU now.
Coulson was in both of those, right?
Yes, Coulson was the lead in one. But they, plot-wise, like the things that would happen, they would never really happen.
They weren't driving the phases forward.
You would never have any of those actors from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. other than Agent Coulson in the movies.
Colby Smulders never showed up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know if she did.
There's so much original content coming to this show. And that's what's interesting about it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but compared to HBO and Netflix and Amazon, they don't have a library of content. They don't have an archive of classic
it's
movies.
Disney, of course they do.
They have their own archive, but it's not like this generous
pool.
They did.
They don't have a Starz deal.
Right.
Bob Iger said they will be licensing other stuff as well.
Oh.
They will.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and the way that works is like HBO pays studios for movies to be on their service for a limited time. So it's not an unending library. It is all windowed.
Intangible.
And so other studios that may not have their own streaming service, Universal, Paramount, probably more than happy to get big paychecks to be on HBO or Comcast Xfinity or Disney Plus.
It just seems like there's so much good original content coming.
Did Bob Iger kind of, because now with Disney buying Fox, they own a boatload of Hulu too. So that means they have like, big giant streaming service that has a bunch of varied content, and then they also have their own like Disney specific streaming service. Did you talk about how that stuff is going to work, or did they address that at all?
They said there'd probably be a bundle with Hulu, ESPN, and Disney.
I don't want ESPN. What if I just want Hulu and Disney?
Yeah, then you're not sure.
I don't like hockey. Sorry, hockey fans.
Yeah, I want to break down all the playoffs so far. Will. I'm not going to ask you to.
Pucks happen.
I've mentioned that it's going to be a Monsters, Inc. show.
Yes,
I know. Are we past Marvel? I'm excited for this. Yep. I'm not sure that's the Pixar film I would choose to have a spinoff from. I think Toy Story is the more obvious.
But you can't get those.
They can't get. I mean,
it's a lot of voices.
John Goodman and, hold on, who's, Monsters, Inc. is Billy Crystal and John Goodman, right?
Yeah. But I don't know if they're cast or not, but I would hope so.
Hmm. But also Monsters, Inc., there's a whole expanded world of those monsters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be.
I love Monsters, Inc. too. It's just a lot of other movies.
Yeah. They're doing Pixar shorts, some original shorts. Will they be there now? And we saw these experimental shorts.
Exactly. They have this whole new series of shorts that they've developed inside where they've kind of let their animators go a little outside the restrictions they would normally have for their pre-movie shorts. They are much more like independent films. So they'll have all of those on the network as well.
I want a Frozone show.
Sure.
Frozone. Nice. Yeah. Well, Sam Jackson's part of the family.
I know. He's in all the franchises.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's the one that will unite them all.
He's the one true. Maybe, I can't remember what his character was in the prequels.
Mace Windu.
Maybe Mace Windu is just Nick Fury.
What if he
thrown
has like
a wormhole?
One day he's booked for all three of those, and he like runs on the set in Star Wars, but the eye patch is still on. They've got to take it off, and then
he has the gnarly cat eye.
Bring the lightsaber, and then and then he does the Frozone stuff.
Yeah.
What if?
Do you think when they do The Simpsons on Disney Plus, they're going to fix the framing bullshit that FX did when they put all the Simpsons on FX and made them HD?
No.
Do you know what they did?
What did they do?
They matted the top and the bottom out of all the frames. So they wanted to make a letterbox, and they zoomed in instead of just leaving black bars on the side for all the old non-widescreen ones.
Leave the black bars.
Please leave the black bars.
Yeah.
Please. Artist intent. Come on.
I don't care about artist intent. Just make it look the way it looked when I was a kid.
That's why you need your 8K TV. On other streaming stuff, hey, have you guys seen the You vs. Wild thing on Netflix?
No.
This is Bear Grylls' new show. It uses Netflix's Bandersnatch style choose your own adventuring, but for a survival show.
Hold on. So you can say, do you want him to eat the poop or do you want him to not eat the poop?
There you go.
What?
I don't know if that is an exact choice.
Poop joke number two, ladies and gentlemen.
But I think it's the third one, actually.
Number three. You made the third one with that reference.
Thank you.
So I haven't actually done this, but Netflix seems all in, and they seem to be embracing the FMV gaming aspect of it. It really is just playing an FMV game, a CD-ROM video adventure.
So I played the Minecraft one of those with my daughter one day, and yeah. I did it when I was sick, and I wanted to just be left alone for a little bit, and was like, hey, let the TV raise my child for a little while. Uh-huh. But they didn't voice the choices.
Yeah.
So I still had to read all the choices to her, which completely defeated the purpose of the whole thing.
Just make it up. Just keep your eyes closed.
I just made it worse.
Just tell to choose left or right.
I mean, yeah, but it doesn't work that way, because if you choose the wrong one, then they kill the pig.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's really dark. Spoilers.
So have you watched it?
Yeah. Was it cool?
I haven't watched it. I've only read about it.
FMV?
Good story.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah. The point is that they are heavily invested in this.
Yeah, I guess so.
So do you think that's why they killed AirPlay for Netflix, is because they want Netflix to only be on platforms that support this stuff?
No, I think it's because Apple is going to push out their own service.
It's just bickering between faces of multinational corporations.
It's flexing their muscles. They could do it.
I mean, I think Netflix is the one who has the most to lose from all of these, the increasing number of streaming services out there. Because like with Hulu and Amazon Prime, which comes free with my Amazon 2-day delivery stuff.
They're also starting from the highest point.
Well, right? That's what I'm saying. So yeah. They're the incumbent now. Yeah. They're the Comcast.
Yeah.
Other streaming, just TV news. Something I was very excited for on FX, which was Why the Last Man being developed.
I love those comics.
No longer being developed.
No!
FX passed on the series.
Oh.
And I think they still have the rights, so it might get revived. But they had cast people, and they had showrunners, and they might have even shot a pilot. But
kind of like The Preacher, if it was shot as written, it would be hard to put on basic cable.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect show for basic cable. It doesn't need to be Game of Thrones. It doesn't need
There's
to be
a
HBO.
Lot of boobs in the comic
it doesn't,
book.
It, you don't. You can write around that.
Okay, that's fair.
Film around that.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys watch the Game of Thrones?
No.
I did. I drove back from L.A. and got back Sunday night, 11 p.m., unpacked, and then watched Game of Thrones at 12:30 a.m.
Did you give it a thumbs up?
I would.
Yeah?
I would. Have
they announced how many episodes?
Six.
And then it's done.
Done.
Wow.
So
everybody
dies. It's moving fast. Like last season moved fast.
Yeah.
It's like they're getting to the point of things.
Has winter come yet?
Winter is here.
Okay.
Yeah, winter is here.
Is it 1 hour? Yeah.
It is. No, they're varying lengths. If you want to know, the first episode's like an hour 7 minutes, but I think their episode's as long as an hour 30, hour 40.
It's whatever they wanted, huh?
They should go. Look, people will watch as long as you want.
Yeah. How many people are still alive? Like 30? They gotta cram in a lot of murders in the time they have left.
I don't know how many people are still alive. But you know how in the opening sequence, they have a new opening sequence. That's not a spoiler to say.
Yeah.
But it's in the same vein as past opening sequences where they have like these miniature unfolding cities.
Mm-hmm.
And previously it was used to identify the parts of Westeros and even the beyond Westeros, beyond the Narrow Sea. Now the new opening sequence is beautiful. It only focuses on King's Landing and Winterfell.
Hmm.
Which says that that's where all the action's taking place.
Is it a shorter intro then?
No, it's a longer intro, bigger animation.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Any dragons?
In the episode?
Yeah. No, in the animation.
I actually don't know.
Okay.
Episode lengths. First episode was 54 minutes. They only go up. 54, 58, hour 22, hour 18, hour 20, hour 20. The last four episodes are movie length.
All right.
Almost 90 minutes long, if you include those HBO previews.
Will's lost interest.
Will's nope. Nope. No. Will clearly does not know that for this podcast, you hold it. You hold it, Will. There is no leaving.
You should have brought him one of your wet naps from your car.
That's right. Pee mats.
Sorry.
Ripley needed it. Okay. And then last bit of pop culture news, tying in technology, YouTube TV raised its prices. There was an introductory price of $35, but now everyone's getting bumped up to $50.
Must have been a success.
But you get more channels. They're putting all the Scripps Network stuff on there, Discovery.
There you go.
And HGTV, which a lot of people had wanted. So I still love the service, and I'm gonna. It's still my preferred way to cut cords. Before we move on to our next segment, I want to thank the other sponsor that makes this episode possible, and that's Ahrefs. Ahrefs is a digital subscription-based software for search engine optimization. If you want to grow traffic on your website, outrank your competitors on Google, and get tons of inbound leads, Ahrefs is the tool you need. Ahrefs is an all-in-one SEO toolset. It does absolutely everything from content research and keyword analysis to technical site audits, rank tracking, and backlinks analysis. Essentially gives you all the insights you need to research and monitor your niche, then rank your website on the top of search engines. Ahrefs also just launched the beta for its new Keywords Explorer, rebuilding the whole tool with new technology and adding 9 additional sources of data. You can now do keyword research for YouTube, Amazon, Bing, Yahoo, etc. It's for people who want to micromanage their search and engine optimization and want all the data to make their best decisions. Ahrefs has a 7-day trial for only $7. Sign up today at ahrefs.com. That's spelled ahrefs.com. Again, that's ahrefs.com. Perfect timing for Will Smith to come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, hello.
From his short break. 23-second break there, Will.
It's the average time it takes a mammal to drain its bladder.
I've heard that before.
It's just good science.
Once or twice. You know, on this podcast, you hold it.
Look, I have a medical condition, and I'm not allowed to hold it right now.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. You know what's also not being held no longer?
A grudge.
Wow. Grudges. Oh, yes. Grudges. Grudges between Qualcomm and Apple because they are settling. Mm-hmm. Qualcomm,
yeah.
Which had previously sued Apple for violation of its patent use, is getting some money.
Why?
From Apple.
What was the violation that they accused them of?
It was...
Do you know?
Because it was about the...
This was about the radio stuff.
Yes, exactly.
What about the radio stuff?
Qualcomm said that Apple, with their A10 SoC, maybe A9 SoC...
Yeah.
Had violated Qualcomm patents on 4G LTE radios, and apparently they just settled.
Well, also, Apple did not want to pay Qualcomm for the pricing.
Yeah.
And so it uses strength as the biggest phone maker in the world and to try to blacklist Qualcomm.
I didn't realize that Apple was making their own radios.
Yeah, the SoC has the radio stuff inside it.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
And Qualcomm said that Apple was withholding payments, and so the licensing.
And Apple was saying that Qualcomm was price fixing, so there were countersuits and the whole thing. It's the same way this shit always works.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of lawyers. They get expert witnesses. They decide how much the economic impact is, and then they settle for cross-licensing plus X million dollars in favor of whoever loses.
There you go.
So someone paid. Apple paid the undisclosed amount. All
they
litigation.
Paid with Apple Pay? Got out that no number card and just bam, yeah, here you go.
Tap. Wow, that's a lot of zeros in there.
I'm not paying transaction fees on this.
Yeah. Get that nice 3% boost if you did
that's it. That's right. That's a lot of iPhones.
In an Apple store.
They could have bought back. and there's a new licensing agreement. So Apple probably wants this for some
5G.
5G.
Does this matter for 5G? I don't know if it does. Probably a different set of IP for 5G.
Yeah, maybe. But it's a 6-year licensing agreement. And a multi-year chipset supply agreement. So expect to see Qualcomm radios back in iPhones in addition to Intel.
All right.
Do
friends.
You think? Or do you think that they're just not going to do Qualcomm radios at all
depends
anymore?
Depends what's the better technology for the consumer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
On to headphones. Some Microsoft news, actually, or Microsoft rumors. There's a rumor that, like Amazon, Microsoft will also be moving into the wireless earbud game with their own take on AirPods, Surface Buds, as we're calling them now, which is a smart move.
Oh, man, I thought this was about being friends with other people who had Surfaces.
No. You can do that anyway.
It's good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You squirt some songs between your Zunes.
Yeah, man, I love squirting songs. It's great.
The AirPods, undeniable success. You know, we talked last week about how the youths use AirPods. And I got some confirmation.
How did the youth use the AirPods?
Well, I posited the case that AirPods, even though it's a two-year-old product, has mm-hmm. reached new levels of popularity, not because it's a good product, because the pairing is good, audio quality, maybe not so much, but because it's finally established itself in youth's culture as a status symbol. Because it's expensive, because it's $170, because it's $200 now for the next generation one.
He's saying people walk around with the earbuds in to show it off.
To show that it is a piece of jewelry. And Apple Store employee, listener of the podcast, messaged me and confirmed that to be the case. Both adults and the youths go into Apple Store, buy AirPods with little to no knowledge of how they work or the technical benefits, but because they want the AirPods.
I think that's pretty standard, though. Like, I think people go in and buy stuff like that. Most people don't have any idea how anything works.
I don't apparently know how anything works, because...
Tell us what annoys you, Jeremy.
I waited in line for an hour to talk to a genius just this past weekend because my stepdad's watch was not raising to wake, even though the feature was turned on.
Yeah.
Waited for an hour. I'm an idiot. He's on freaking drama mode.
Oh.
He's on theater mode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The genius, like, slide it up, hit the button. I was so disappointed in myself.
Jeremy?
Wow. Do you not use the theater mode?
I do.
You've gone full dad.
Seriously, dude.
Yeah. Congratulations.
It's all over.
The problem with theater mode is that it's not smart enough to be tied into your Apple Wallet, which has like movie tickets and theater tickets, to know that when your screening is over, it automatically should turn off. I've had theater mode linger for days. For that reason.
There's no turn off when I leave this location for theater mode.
Oh, yeah, that would be simple. Simple.
Yep.
Simple thing.
You know, the easier solution is just not use an Apple Watch.
Like Apple products, they'll do a thing where if you turn off Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, the default now is it only turns off until the next day.
Hey, do you want to hear a fun Apple Watch factoid?
Oh, I love factoids.
The original launch Apple Watches just don't work anymore.
Oh, I know that. I wouldn't call that fun.
No. I mean, like, it used to be that you still get notifications.
Yeah.
Now they don't even do notifications.
What? Really?
Yeah. When they changed the way notifications work with the
last iOS
update.
Can you melt it for gold?
Update.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, if I had the gold one, I could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can melt it for stainless steel, I guess.
Only Beyonce.
Series Zero, you mean?
Series Zero.
That's too bad.
Yeah, way to retcon that name and make us all feel like dumbasses.
So Surface Pods, whatever they're called, Surface Buds, it's a smart move for Microsoft.
Microsoft
ears. It's a tough market to get into because the kids love
Amazon's
what
doing
the
it.
Kids love.
Yep. Worked really well for Google, right? Those things are awesome. Everybody uses them. I see them all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to do more. It's tough to move with just functionality. I don't think people care about the functionality. It needs to somehow be cool. And I don't know if Microsoft knows how to do that.
Has Microsoft ever made anything cool?
Yeah, the Xbox.
Yeah. Is the Xbox cool?
Well, I mean, at some point it was.
Yeah.
I think the Surface is cool. I think that they may not have the prestige of a MacBook on a college campus because of how much they cost. But I think I like seeing Surfaces out in the wild. I think those people are cool.
I mean, I think the Surface is a good product. I don't know if it's cool.
The thing is, like, if you're right about the kids, using these as a status symbol, I mean, is that anything new? They've always had the white earbuds. The white earbuds were a part of their marketing campaign from the beginning.
But the white earbuds
were not a
sign that said I spent $200 on this thing.
No, it said I spent $200 on this iPod.
They want both. Everyone has an iPhone now. iPhones are saturated.
Yeah.
And now you can't even tell the difference between the cheap iPhone and the expensive iPhone at a glance.
Are there like hipsters? Are there hipsters bringing back old iPods now, like refurbing, like a first gen iPod, putting a bigger hard drive in there?
I should have
fresh battery.
1,000 songs in your pocket, dude.
You could put 10,000 songs with a bigger hard drive.
Bring back the Nomad jukebox.
Do you think people
first MP3 player or not first, but
my first
popular one?
You know how you can test this, Norm?
Hey, Will.
Hey, how's it going, Norm?
Got to stay humble.
Oh, God. First off, I have to admit, I almost went back to get my AirPods today in case I had to make a phone call.
Yeah.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. Second, I think you can test this by saying, hey, I have a busted pair of AirPods. I'm selling them for $40 on Craigslist and see how long they last.
I'm surprised there aren't bootleg AirPods.
There are bootleg AirPods.
Like
bootleg AirPods.
Oh, I'm being fooled.
Like $15.
Those kids are much less cooler than I thought.
You can
they
get
were.
Bootleg AirPods for like $15 from
just a shell.
Bang. No, they work. They're terrible Bluetooth headphones. Banggood and AliExpress and all the places that sell stuff straight from China. You can get all the knockoff, like with the case, with the charging in the case, the whole thing.
Got it. All right, other Microsoft news, maybe cooler. Xbox and E3 press conference.
Uh-huh.
Midge Nelson, their spokesperson, has announced that they will have a big presence. Sunday, June 9th, is when they're going to be doing their live briefing, E3. And they will have a big announcement. They're going big this year. What does that mean?
I mean, they're the only one there going big.
Yeah.
Microsoft and Ubisoft.
Really?
Bethesda. Let's see. Activision doesn't do an E3 conference. Yeah. I think EA said they're not doing one this year.
Nintendo.
Sony's doing their video thing. Nintendo's doing their video thing. It's a little bit of a thin for press conference. I mean, look, Nintendo paved the way showing that you don't have to have a big press conference to get people to care. And Reggie's gone, too.
That's right. Oh.
Bowser's in.
Bowser finally wins.
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me some VR news, Microsoft. Have a strategy.
They did say VR would be part of it.
They said VR would be part of the last console. Yeah. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
You could plug a Windows MR headset into the Xbox and then nothing happens. That's a strategy.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, either of you on your MacBooks or in your iOS life use a Luna display?
Was that the thing that lets you turn your iPad into a second display for your Mac?
Yeah.
No. I did once. It was bad.
Over wired connection. Even.
Oh, I didn't do it over wired. It was over probably 802.11n when we tested it.
It's useful.
9 years
ago. It's useful in traveling, and it's a good application. Astro HQ makes it. The rumor is Apple is going to probably make that irrelevant with their own version of that called sidecarring for macOS 10.1.5.
I don't believe that they would do something like that.
Why not?
Because it seems like it would always be a little bit janky in a way that Apple tries not to make their core product.
Well, they don't have a touchscreen Mac yet. And they've always been averse to that. So you would want to touch that iPad screen, wouldn't you?
Maybe for Apple's version, you would not have touchscreen functionality.
Yeah.
While in the other versions, on this other apps, touch gives you some type of input.
Mm-hmm.
God, if you could use that and then use it when drawing apps, like you use a Cintiq or something with an iPad Pro, that would be amazing.
It would be, but why
not holding my breath.
Run the other way around, have a native app on your iPad, run your Cintiq stuff, and then sync that data back to the PC.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, either one's fine, I guess. Whatever.
Oh my God, my show notes disappeared.
The Tesla $35,000 Model 3 is dead.
Nope. Yes, nope, it's back.
Wait,
is it
what?
Back?
Yep.
What?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Nope, you can get it, but you have to call.
I mean, that was always the case. It was gone in their dealerships, and dealerships were almost nearly gone. But in efforts to, as they say, streamline the product lineup.
Yep.
Based on their data on how many people were buying, they said people weren't really buying the $35,000 car. They were buying the plus version.
It's only a couple $1,000 more, and you got more range.
So the baseline will be the standard, or the plus version, which will be like a software
limited
version of the plus or the standard range.
What's a software limited version mean?
So as opposed to having manufacturing battery packs with different capacities. Oh, we'll have one on the high end, and then we'll have one on the low end, and the base level will be a software-limited version
of the high end.
On the low end.
So if you ever need an additional 30 miles, you just call up and unlock that feature for an additional $5,000 or
really?
Whatever it is. Yeah. It's a software unlock.
Yeah. To turn yours from a basic to a plus or standard.
Like, I'm wondering, at any point in time, will somebody need that range in order to get home?
Well, remember when they had the...
And, like, call up and unlock it.
When they had the Hurricane, they unlocked everybody's ranges on the Model S's.
There you go.
So that people could get out of Florida or wherever it was.
OnStar. Call OnStar.
Yeah.
Help me with my Tesla.
Wow.
Unlock some mileage.
How do you feel about that? Software locked battery.
Look, it's all everything. The world is software now.
I feel you, man. I get it. But it also feels like if you know you have something that is a part of your property,
let's
feel like they own their cars.
Let's think about this. From a pure technology standpoint, is it software lock where those cells aren't even being filled? Is it like a discrete number of cells that do not get any electrons? Or is it software managed where you get a balanced battery, a better balanced battery?
Yeah.
Because you're filling all the cells and you're only getting access. Because then that is potential energy.
Literally, the battery is turning, the car is just turning, the software is turning the car off when the battery should be out based on the battery you bought.
Right.
Which means you're always going to be topping it off just that little bit and cycling those electrons.
It just feels weird to me.
Sure. I mean, look, the whole fucking future should feel weird. We're in late stage capitalism dystopia. This is what we're here for.
Now that autopilot, the baseline autopilot that I talked about, is now standard.
It's like if Apple sold a single phone.
What are you selling,
but they
Jeremy?
Unlocked various amounts of memory capacity based on how much you spent.
Hey, I got bad news for you.
What?
It's probably going to be a time in the not too distant future when it's cheaper to do that.
Yeah.
Just put 512 gigs on every iPhone sold and only lock the certain portion. It's what happens with CPUs. It's what's happened with CPUs for years. You know, you buy a 6-core Intel CPU. It's really an 8-core die with 2 cores that didn't pass QC.
But they do QC. Like, you know that there's, like, you can't pay to unlock those cores.
I mean, what?
That would be the difference.
So say Intel is in a situation where, say NVIDIA, well, NVIDIA is a bad example. Say Intel's in a situation where they have a whole bunch of 8-core CPUs and nobody wants to buy 8-core CPUs.
Yeah.
What if they sell those as four core CPUs and then say, hey, for $200, you can unlock the other 4 cores?
Wouldn't that make you feel weird?
I don't know. I bought it. I paid the 4-core price.
I mean, it certainly makes my hacker brain start to tingle. You know, like, could you unlock those yourself?
Yeah. What's the jailbreak for
your
Tesla?
Do you know a guy, you know, who could do that for you?
I know a guy.
You know,
I also think that people think of those cars as different. Like, people, when making a purchase, the cars are a car purchase, even though it is a more of a piece of technology now than it is a quote unquote car.
Certainly, your car.
People think of it in a different mindset than they do a piece of consumer tech or a laptop, a computer.
It's, you know, and we talked about this before. Like, there's lots of software that you can download as a free demo, and then you can pay the code, and it maybe gets rid of ads or it unlocks more content. For whatever reason, given that it's completely digital, I don't have as much problem with that. But if I have Atoms, if I have purchased something, it is mine in my space, I feel like I should be able to put that to use.
So, Norm, can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
What's the difference between the long range and the performance model for the Model 3? Is it just software?
It is. The performance has to be the dual motor.
Well, these are both dual motor, according to the picture that I'm clicking on.
Right, that's right, because the long range is only dual motor now.
Yeah.
Which is, sorry.
Did you get a single motor long range?
Yeah, which is the one to get, because dual motor is not
less weight, right?
Less. Well, the benefits of the dual motor, which is increased 0-60, or faster 0-60.
Probably better traction.
A little bit better traction, but like not worth the $4,000 or whatever it was.
Is it only front wheel drive or rear wheel drive for the one motor one?
I believe it is rear wheel drive.
Okay.
But performance is software.
Okay. Same thing. You know, are you going to pay an extra? So it's an extra $20,000 to go from the basic $28,000 frame to the performance one, which is the longer, bigger battery, and higher top speed.
And not to mention the autopilot stuff. Like, it has all the hardware.
The autopilot stuff's not built in. I mean, you have to pay for it.
That is also a software update. All cars ship with the necessary hardware, and you just have to pay to get the unlock.
Fair. So then the full self-driving capability, now to unlock that, to get the self-parking and the auto lane change and stuff, you have to pay for the $5,000 option up front. It says autopilot included enables your car to steer, accelerate, and brake automatically for other vehicles and pedestrians within its lane. Then it says full self-driving capability. To unlock that, you have to pay the $5,000
or
$7,000 after delivery.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's bonkers.
And they've said that price will only go up.
I do like the idea of being able to summon the car. Do you ever do that?
No.
It seems like it'd be really scary.
It's slow. It works if you're parked in a really tight spot.
Okay.
But then you have other things to potentially worry about, like other cars.
Yeah.
All right. My show notes are back. So, quick product announcement. You guys still use
Harmonies?
Harmonies or universal remotes?
No. I still have one.
Do you ever wish yours had Alexa built in?
So it's funny. I've gone from using the physical remote to mostly just using it on my phone.
Oh, wow.
That's
a place where I don't like using the remote on my phone.
I just do it because it's convenient. Like, it's for the bedroom TV is where the Harmony is.
Mm.
In the living room, we still mostly just use the Apple remote.
Yeah, universal remotes used to be this big business before touchscreen phones, where to get one with a touchscreen was really expensive. Yeah. And, you know, it's still because there's a lot of complexity in your home entertainment setup. And so these premium devices to tie in, and with built-in apps on HDTVs, it's a little bit less of a necessity because you don't have a ton of devices typically. Now, well, there are situations where you may have a Roku and Apple TV and a game console,
PlayStation,
and even a soundbar. And so you may need one of these. And Logitech has a new Harmony Express that has no screen, mm-hmm. but it's all connected via Alexa.
So, I mean, the interesting thing to me is that this category with HDMI CEC and the built-in apps on the TVs, it's much less, like, it doesn't seem like it needs to exist anymore. Right, because you turn on the PlayStation by pressing the button on the PlayStation controller, and it switches to the PlayStation. You turn on the Apple TV, it switches to the Apple TV. You press the remote button for Netflix on your remote, and it goes to Netflix on your TV. I'm interested in Alexa, but I can already do that with a lot of stuff. My existing Harmony Hub talks to Alexa. My Xbox talks to Alexa. My TV talks to Alexa.
I see the scenario in which any type of universal remote is useful is when you have other people over, when family's visiting, and they have no idea how to access and run your thing.
I mean, you just tell them to not use the TV.
I have never had a universal remote that actually worked consistently.
Oh, God, the Harmony stuff used to be great, but it was just really expensive.
Like, the number of times I've had to walk a babysitter or my parents when they visit through how to, and then it doesn't do what it's supposed to do because they hit the wrong button. It's a mess.
They hit the wrong button once.
And yeah.
If you want to try to troubleshoot that with voice, that just seems like a dark pit.
It's like most things with a voice. The potential is high, but there's also a lot of room for failure. And the smallest mistake means you're just gonna, you're frustrating yourself.
Now you told, and like you're right. I think it's really interesting promise. You told me that you don't just have to say like turn on the TV. You can also say put on Grey's Anatomy,
and they have a database of shows.
That's neat.
Which will launch your Comcast box and then switch to the channel that has the show on, which I think is useful for people who have like parents who are visiting and don't want to, or friends who are visiting and don't want to, tamper with all your different remotes.
But Siri now does that too. I mean, it has for some time. If you hold down the mic button, talk to the remote, if it's digital.
And if it's within the Apple TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then it can find it.
Yeah.
But that also applies to any other app that is blessed by its service that's on the Apple TV.
Yeah. Yeah. So really, it's about the changing state of how people are using or getting their entertainment. Like, the days of a Comcast box, a Roku, an Xbox, the TV, the over the air, that's going away.
It's increasingly just Apple TV in my house.
Just Apple TV or just one device, whether that's your game console or for some people, or the native apps on your TV. And the one remote is just fine. Now, the Apple TV remote still sucks.
God.
Have you used the new software one on iOS?
Oh, with iOS 12.
It's
update,
so good.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
When you pull it down from the control center and you turn your phone off or your phone goes to sleep, now next time you turn your phone on, it's just back on the remote. And also the little context widget that usually has like what music is currently playing knows that it's my TV is on and it has like a baseball game on and it gives me all the Apple TV context stuff plus a shortcut to the remote there.
So it's like
very
it.
Good.
Okay.
It is a massive, massive improvement in usability on that.
And it's a big touchpad, too.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, the only person who uses the Apple TV remote in my house is the kid. Because she doesn't have a phone.
She needs to get a job.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I tell her all the time. She's six. What does she expect me to carry her dead weight for another 12 years, 13 years?
All right. How about some VR?
Sure. How much is that Harmony Express remote, by the way, Norm?
$250. Yeah, I think a little pricey, too.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But you can talk to it.
I don't care.
It can talk to you.
That's even worse.
You guys remember the game Another World?
Yes.
Maybe you don't because you didn't live in the UK. It was called Out of This World here.
They re-released it on Switch a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's very good.
The remake was excellent.
It's like Prince of Persia style animation.
It's a French guy.
You mean like rotoscoped?
Yeah, rotoscoped.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super timeless game. It still plays extremely well, and like you said, they redid it. And he actually did a great postmortem at GDC a few years ago. Anyway, he's making a new game, and it's intriguing. It doesn't have anywhere near the same kind of look as Out of This World or Another World. But it does have a very unique, distinct look that it sprung out of his experimentations with the Unity engine, and doing some procedurally generated animations of beasts and weather patterns and rock formations, and it looks quite cool. I can't wait to see.
It's called Paper Beasts?
Paper Beasts. Yeah, I can't wait to see how this turns out, and I guess there will be VR support.
I thought it looked lovely.
Yeah. I'm down to support this guy. I'm just glad to see he's still doing it. It's been a long time since Another World came out.
30 years almost, right?
Yeah.
I remember reading a Nintendo Power.
Yeah, me too.
That had a full page, like, stitch screenshot of the first level of Out of This World.
Of Out of This World?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the only way you could figure out how to beat it. It was really hard.
Oh, you could beat that.
Have you played it lately?
Yeah.
I'd like to see you beat it right now.
No. It definitely holds up.
Okay.
Yeah, I have probably played it the past couple of years.
Go left. That's the big tip on Out of This World.
You go right, dude.
You start by going left.
No, you don't want to go left immediately. You want to go to the right and then get chased by the beast.
Yeah, fair.
Oh.
The VR Minute. Virtual reality this week.
Oh, boy. All right, where do we start? How about... Let's talk about...
really owning it, Chan.
I know this. Well, let's talk about some rumors. Okay.
Well, why? What rumor?
Well, there's
what do you got?
We're waiting for the Quest. We're waiting for Oculus Quest.
There's going to be a pink version that you can buy?
No. What? We've speculated in the past. Obviously, launch date still unknown. We don't know when it's going to come out. But all signs are now pointing toward F8.
Like, what's F8?
That's Facebook's conference.
Oh, okay.
You know, from GDC, we're asking about release timing, and there's like plenty more events this year.
Yep.
And it makes a lot of sense to me that come end of this month, April 30th, is when F8 begins.
There were some Best Buy employees who posted to Reddit and said that they had received bundles, like, already. Now, that seems highly suspect, because that's really early. That was like 3 weeks out from the time of the posting. And they said that they were dated...
How is that information not then leaked already?
Like, and there's no photograph.
That's
proof?
The thing. The photos.
Yeah.
Why are there no photos?
Yeah. No. So I'm definitely suspicious, but it does line up with that event.
Now, would that be if at F8 details are announced? Would that be like a day and date thing? Is that a good strategy? Let's assume that's the strategy. Mark Zuckerberg goes up on stage,
like available now kind of thing.
Right.
That seems crazy. I always assumed it would be an announcement of a date.
So you think that April 30th, if that is something's going to happen at F8, it would be an announcement of a release date, a pre-order. It would be pre-orders now, comes out in 2 weeks.
Maybe that's just me tempering my excitement and hope. But that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If it is a day and date thing, which would be in line with this Best Buy rumor.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Do you think that would be fantastic?
Can they make enough of them to satisfy
demand?
That's
the thing. Unless that's their strategy to go, you know, have it all sold out and make it.
Not a bad headline. Just make sure that you have enough.
You have enough supply.
Yeah. Like, when I bought the Go on release day, they only had two boxes of them, and they were sold out within 30 minutes of opening the store.
Right. I think for the Go, they probably met, demand supply was equally met at launch. I think demand is going to be much higher.
Not at
Quest.
My store. Hopefully they get new units out there quickly.
Yeah. Now, will you get a Quest if it comes out in the next couple of weeks? Will you get one with the secret message?
Right.
That was the other news this week.
What's the secret message?
Well, Nate Mitchell over at Oculus said that for a bunch of shipping units of the new touch controllers, because the Rift S and the Quest will have the same controllers, new tracking ring that goes the other direction. On the inside, there is a piece of hardware, like some part of the assembly.
It looks like a flex PCB.
That has a embedded message that was only supposed to be for... prototype units.
No, silkscreen message on it.
So they're selling prototypes as real hardware?
No, it just got put into the production pipeline.
Forgot to remove it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the messages like the Masons were here.
Yeah.
Hi, I fix it. And Big Brother is watching.
Well, that one was only in dev kits. So that's definitely not going to be released.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm
whatever. This is much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
That seems like an oopsie.
Yeah. It sounds like they had to get ahead of making that announcement. A little bit of mea culpa before it became a bigger story than it is.
Yeah.
The other rumor, and we speculated on, is the other SKU for the Oculus Quest. It's going to launch, we know, with 64 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And
today it accidentally launched on Facebook. Pre-orders or some kind of orders launched on Facebook UK. Amazon UK.
The Uke.
Yeah, and so people were able to see that there is, in fact, a 128 gigabyte SKU, and that it costs $499. Oculus said that it launched accidentally. Amazon pushed it. They shouldn't have. It's now gone. But Oculus confirmed $499 price point for the 128 gigabyte Quest.
All right.
What?
God, that would be the one to get.
You think?
For me.
$100 for 64 gigabytes.
That's what I assumed it would be the case.
I was thinking it would be less, personally.
You thought $50.
Yeah, but that is a way for them. They've got to have slim margins on the Quest. This is a way for them to make some of that up. I get it.
And with no micro SD card, even though there's USB-C, I think you want as much storage. I think you want to be plugging into your computer.
Games are going to be a lot bigger than Go.
Yeah. Data management less on these devices.
And I've already expended the limit on the Go.
Yeah.
So yeah.
How big was it go? 64 gigs?
64 was the second tier.
It's 3264.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I bought the 32 one. Never had a problem.
That was the $200 one.
Yeah.
You don't play a lot of games on the go.
I don't play a lot of games on the go, it turns out. I basically play Keep Talking, Nobody Explodes, and watch Netflix.
Software wise, that 50 title launch lineup is closer to a fuller picture. We have a Racket NX.
Dude, this is great news. I don't think enough is said about this. This is a title that really stands out from all the other launch titles for maximizing 360 gameplay. Because there's really no forward in this game, and you've always felt hampered by that cable. And being able to play wireless, now I know people with the Vive and the Oculus wireless headsets have been able to do this, but most people haven't dropped another $500 to get that capability. So now on the Quest, it's going to ship, and it's going to be compatible multiplayer with people on the Rift ecosystem, so there'll be a nice number of people playing the game.
That's awesome.
And it's going to play. I can't wait. They say that graphically, it's indistinguishable from the Rift. They had to do a lot of optimizations.
I can only imagine.
They spent the time to do it, and I'm excited for this game.
And then also, probably launching on the Quest will be Vader Immortal, which is the Oculus Studios Star Wars ILM X-Lab narrative adventure. Exclusive to Quest and Rift. We saw a trailer from Star Wars Celebration. It's going to be episodic. They say it'll be about 45 minutes of content. I don't know if that's per episode or total across the later episodes.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, from a report on Road to VR, that the first episode will focus on lightsaber combat as a main gameplay element. And the second one will be force powers.
The third one's all parliamentary politics.
I didn't dig the trailer for this game either.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a typical like person who finds himself in a Star Wars universe and uses a lightsaber and looks kind of silly.
Jeremy hates Star Wars.
I think I might hate Star Wars now.
One of the things that's been interesting in the last week or so is a bunch of people who are making Quest apps have been posting their, hey, here's how we ported our, x86/desktop GPU game to work on Quest.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really interesting blog posts and videos out there about that if you kind of dig a little bit into I've seen mostly on like VR Twitter.
I'm pleasantly surprised so far with the promise of all the apps that are coming to Quest.
I mean, the people who are making these games have been working on it for a long time. And I'm knowing what I know about the different stuff, I'm optimistic.
Knowing what I know about different stuff.
No. I mean, knowing what I know about porting stuff from desktop to ARM, it's hard, but it's not impossible.
No doubt.
Especially if you're not doing something like building a game with a ton of dynamic lights or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that does it for VR news. One last rumor. Engadget says that Lenovo may... They had their Star Wars VR or AR. AR game,
yep.
Which you put the phone in, you wear a headset, you have a track controller, it's a lightsaber.
Like Jedi Challenges or something?
Yeah, like Jedi Challenges. I thought it was fun. It's good for the family. The rumor is that they may do one for Marvel as well.
Ooh.
So I don't know what prop you would use. Captain America's shield? Iron Man?
I don't know.
Right?
I
think AR, as we've experienced with Dr. Gorbort's Invaders, AR blasters, a lot of fun.
If you do some finger magic.
Exactly. That does it for the VR Minute and most of our podcasts this week. We have one last segment. Right. Jeremy's got to get his phone, got to open his notes app.
I got
to bring out the list of...
Prepare.
This is really old man territory here.
Things that annoy me. All right. All right, so you got the hoodies out there, right? Everyone's got the hoodie.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. You guys
are
wearing it's
a uniform
hoodies, right?
For
I like a hoodie.
Bigger startups.
You keeps, see, keeps your head warm.
I see a lot of people wearing hoodies, and it's all good. I wear. I must own four hoodies.
I saw you wearing a hoodie this morning,
and they call it a hoodie because it's got a hood, doesn't it? And you pull it up, and it's great. It does a good job. Keeps you out of the sun. Maybe keeps you warm.
Yeah,
keeps you in there. The problem is it's turned into this is just like the earbuds. There's a style thing happening. Some people are pulling that hood up only halfway. Have you seen this?
No.
Where the hood, it comes up like to here. Like, and it
half, give me a word picture, Jeremy.
Kind of half covers the ears, and it goes up over the head.
It's like a cowl.
And it's got this look. And what it says to you is it says, I'm casual. Like, I didn't get it all the way up there. I kind of just, like, it just kind of went up, and it kind of laid there. And accidentally, it's halfway off. This is not accidental. This is a total style choice that people are making to pull their hoodie up only halfway. And it's sort of like, you know, like the DJ from Apple Music, Ibn, I forget his name, but he's like the main DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
There's photos of him doing this like in a photo shoot, so you know it's intentional. This is like part of like, I don't know if it's hip-hop.
It's like the pop collar of hoodies.
It's, yeah, it's like...
It's not because I want to cover my neck.
It has nothing to do with purpose. You know, this is just style. And a hood, come on, a hood is there to be, a hood is a has a purpose. And it's
but
to keep you
wanna,
warm.
You don't
want to
ruin
the
front
off.
Of your hair.
Yeah, the front of your hair is the important part of the hair.
The people I see doing this, there's nothing to worry about with the front of their hair.
You say that, but it could be, like, it might look tousled.
It's just, what annoys me is this sense, it's like this implication of it's just lazy or, you know, just like they're just chill.
So laissez-faire.
But really, like, this is like they went in the mirror and this took effort.
What if they have a rotator cuff injury and they
There's
can't get
nothing,
their arm that far
nothing
forward?
Lazy about this. It's
wow.
It's with this kind of purpose.
How far down your list are we these days? Are we, like, toward the bottom or are we more middle or top?
Hopefully there's four more left.
Oh, God, you do five a week?
No, there's four more up to 500.
Oh.
You guys notice this?
I do notice it. I've seen this in magazines. I've seen it on the street. I've seen people wearing hats and hoodies over their hats halfway.
Yeah.
You know, it's style. What's wrong with style?
Maybe they want the sun off their ears, but not their forehead. Think about that.
You see, I feel like style and purpose should dovetail. Style and function, I should say.
Probably they're wearing the hoodie up like that to keep their
AirPods like
in because they'll fall out otherwise.
It sounds like the thing that's bothering you is the attempt at looking casual, but the in contrast to the amount of
effort
that you assume they took
it's sort of
to
like,
hold that position.
It's sort of like messy hair that takes gel to be messy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that bother you too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I think
so
you don't
this
like...
isn't like a people wear a baseball cap but don't bend the cap. They like to keep the brim.
I don't know.
Straight.
Baseball cap styling. I don't understand it at all. I don't understand like the hat that's like an inch up off the head. You know, that's like you see
the high top.
Maybe you see people in Texas doing that. I don't know, but like it's just higher
it's
up.
A Texas thing.
It's not down all the way where it's like it would be contoured.
You ride it up above
it's casual.
The ground.
It's casual.
Odd. I don't understand. Like there's a you know you tilt it a little bit. I don't understand
off
that
side.
It's like it's not blocking the sun anymore so well.
Have you ever seen a Andy Rooney before?
Andy Rooney.
Yeah, from 60 Minutes.
Uh huh.
He used to do a bit like this.
He did a thing.
He used to complain about stuff.
Really?
That he didn't understand. He was flummoxed by the modern world. Huh. That was kind of his whole shtick.
I've been flummoxed by the modern world for a long time now.
Yeah. I like this. This is a good look for you.
Yeah. That's the thing that annoys me.
That's it?
All right.
That does. How much, like a scale of 1 to 10, how much does that annoy you?
Yeah. Every time I see it.
Okay.
You know.
Do you want to like go pull that guy's hood up or down?
Dude. You know, I don't want to mess with people that way because they clearly are insecure because they spend time on their image.
Wow.
So I have compassion. I just don't understand it. I can't relate to it.
I'm glad that you're not going to invade their personal space to fix their look.
Right, exactly.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, last week on Projections, we reviewed Vacation Simulator.
It's all the vacation most people can afford these days.
And all our opinions are there.
Did we make a mistake? Is this a retraction?
No, not a retraction. It's just extended. I want to point people. Road to VR has a guest post from two of the developers at Alchemy Labs who worked on Vacation Sim, including the painting part of Vacation. There's a mini game where you use a paintbrush and you can draw things and you can... and apparently that was quite a bit of a technical challenge and a design challenge, and it's really cool to read their insights on designing a paintbrush in VR to feel like a paintbrush on actual canvas as opposed to on volumetric space.
It does do a calligraphy kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the brush physics are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll give it to him.
Yeah. So, worth reading.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Sure.
For the audience?
Yes.
Google killed Inbox a few weeks ago, which is the mail client I used for the last 4 or 5 years, it seems like. Yeah, like, put this at the top of your list. I've tried 3 or 4 different things now and found nothing that is even close to being comparable and would love suggestions from the audience. The ones that I've tried so far are Spark, which has too fucking many notifications, and Newton, which annoyed me for reasons we don't need to go into.
Now, what would it take for Gmail to work for you?
Remember Inbox by Google? That was really good.
I do remember that.
Yeah, it was great.
But I feel like they're not that far off. Like, the thing that I find myself doing now is, like, I use the tabs because you have to, like, retain that segment.
There's no choice.
I hate it because it used to all be on one page.
Yep.
But at least, like, on the phone, it is. Like, you get...
it's in line on the phone?
You go to Primate, like, you get one chance to, like, tap it and go through it. But there's no button at the top to archive all.
That's the thing that I want.
Yeah.
Like, the ability to say, hey, here's all the shit in the updates folder. Never show me this again.
Right. Exactly. I like to enter that. I like to see if there's an important one by, you know, from and subject. And if not, archive all.
Yeah.
Give me that. And
or even better, report spam all. Get these all. Never let me see these again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, this is a mystery to me. I'd love to know more. Like, if there's anybody from Google who wants to speak anonymously about why this happened, because I know you liked Inbox because you're smart people.
And you spent a lot of money buying the company that made Inbox, Sparrow.
Yeah, I know that there's people who disagree with this, and I want to know what happened.
And the other thing that annoys me about regular Gmail, there's ads.
I don't see the ads.
Yeah. I don't know how you don't see.
They're at the top of the tabs.
My brain just does not.
You don't do tabs.
They're at the top of the tabs.
It's only in tabs.
It's complete horseshit. Hey, here's some promoted stuff at the top of your folder. I don't want promoted stuff in email. Google's already useless as a search engine because the whole top page is promoted bullshit.
There's got to be a Google Chrome extension to get rid of those ads, don't you think?
I'm just going to stop using email. Don't bother me. Send a paper letter.
All right. Are we done here?
We are done. How about an outro? Outro song.
Imperialus Rex.
Let's do it.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
Bastard.
He's like, more.
Like,
right in the veins. Like,
give me more dragons. Dragons in the veins. I'm salivating just hearing about it.
Bastard.
I tried it. I didn't like it.
That was a good pregnant pause.
I'm so hungry.
I think I believed that one already, but it's a good one.
It's a good one.
Can we go get a ridiculous French sandwich?
Let's do it.